You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
For several decades, the Reverend Dr. Paul W. Devantier served both the church and his neighbors graciously, and you may recognize his voice from the long-running program By the Way. The Lord, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, called his servant Paul to his eternal rest on November 3rd. 2025. And today we give thanks to God and remember the Reverend Dr. Paul Devantier. Joining us for this conversation, Joni Harwell, longtime employee here at KFUO and friend of the staff and everyone who's involved with KFUO. Joni, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and talk a little bit about Paul Devantier.
Also joining us today, Jenny Williams, former lead producer at KFUO, longtime employee and friend of Paul as well. Jenny, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
We called you both out of retirement to come in and share some good stories. Also joining us online, John Devantier, son of Paul and Ellen Devantier. John, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Andy.
So a little bit of history, just looking over the history and the timeline of Paul Devantier. In 1972, following his ordination, he served as director of development for KFUO Radio and KFUO FM. And in 1974, appointed general manager of the stations and executive secretary of the Synod's board for Lutheran Radio. Then in 1982, became executive director of the LCMS Board for Communication Services. 2000, he accepted the call to serve as chief communications officer for Bethesda Lutheran Homes and Services. And then he served as the president and host or speaker of By the Way for, I don't know how many decades. You probably know that.
For probably 40 years, I believe it was.
Wow, so yeah. Four decades. He also served as director of LCMS Communications during a 9-year-long religious freedom case, which ended in 1998 with the positive landmark decision of the U.S. Court of Federal Appeals in Washington, D.C. That may come up in some of our conversation today as well. So, Joni, when did you first meet Paul Devantier? What was your role at that time?
Actually, I started at KFUO as a part-time receptionist. And I think it's very interesting. I ended up being what Paul was first called to serve as director of development. And I think I met Paul right away. And he was so impressive. He believed that anyone could do anything. So he just kind of moved me along. I started working for him with, By the Way, I think probably as soon as I started, when I went full-time, which was about 6 months after I was hired, I went full-time, and he had me working with getting scripts for him. I would have to think in my mind what his voice sounded like and kind of cut those scripts down. And then I'd send them to Paul, who would cut them down some more. Actually, Ken, who was the Lutheran Hour speaker? Ken
Klaus.
He was actually one of our writers before he was the Lutheran Hour speaker. A number of them. Paul was, to me, he was a leader. He was not an enforcer. He would ask you to do something, and he'd give you some information about it. And he just had confidence you could do it. And I just really very much enjoyed working with him.
Jenny, what about you? When did you first meet Paul Devantier?
Well, I actually first met, By the Way, Scripps. Before I met Paul, Joni came and asked me, she said, Jenny, can you help me with something? I need you to type these. And she gave me this huge stack of stuff. I couldn't type. And I said, I'm not good at typing. She said, oh, it'll be fine. So I started typing, By the Way, Scripps. And as a result of that, I'm a very good typist now. And yeah, my typing was horrible. So then I got interested in it because what I was typing was so good. And I'm like, these are really nice. And I thought he should put these in a book, which he later did. But several books. And
four.
I have them all. I have them all. But when I met Paul, I think I actually came with me moving. I think I had met him a couple times and we didn't really become friends until I came over to the International Center where his office was. And then I worked under him as my boss, and he was over a bunch of communication stuff, all of it. And he was so mild-mannered. And like Joni said, he thought you could do anything. Paul had me traveling out of town, traveling to different hotels and doing presentations about all the different programs. And I told him, I said, well, Paul, I don't know. You probably want to get Joni or something. He said, oh, no, you'll be good at it. We need you to do it. And I'm like, okay. And sure enough, by the mercy of God, I was able to do it. And he said, I told you, that was great. So he was a great encourager. I think what I really remember most about him and I'm most appreciative of is, and I don't know the name of it, when the seasons change and it starts to get dark and cold, and I would go through this period of, oh my gosh, and I couldn't handle it. And one day he said, you seem kind of down. And I said, yeah, it's starting to get cold and dark. And he said, I said, this happens to me every year. And he said, that used to happen to me too. And he said, he gave me the name seasonal affective disorder or something. I don't remember, sad. And he said, I said, you said you used to have it? He said, yeah. He said, now when I see that you change the clocks, he said, I just count down the days till it changes back. And I have been doing that. I don't have to use X's anymore. I can kind of do it in my head now. But I really am glad for him telling me that. And he said, open your curtains, make sure the lights are on. And it just made me have a whole new outlook on it's wintertime and it's dark and it's okay, you know. So I'm really appreciative for that. So that's like the most thing I appreciate him for, and how he pushed me to do things that were pretty much out of my comfort zone at work. I like background. I don't like being out in public. And I'm not kidding, he had me standing up in front of all these executive people and telling about all the programs that I didn't even realize I knew about. So yeah, he was a great boss and a true friend. Even when he came back after he retired and was just doing, by the way, he'd always say, he'd look for me. And I would come out and he would always say, hi, Jenny. And we would hug, you know, and we'd catch up just a couple minutes is all he usually had. But it was great.
You know, I think what Jenny was explaining is exactly what Paul wanted his listeners to hear with, by the way. He would always have this message that gave you hope. And we would get letters and people would say, you know, I listen to your message every day because it brings me such hope and such joy. And that's really who I believe Paul was. He wanted to make sure everyone knew about Jesus and he wanted them to be positive about life.
Joni, how did you grow under his leadership?
My. Well, as I said, I went from part-time receptionist to director of development. That's not usually something you do. He made me producer of another program, Speaking of Life. Then I just went on to manage some other programs and some other things and worked with public relations because he knew I was a talker.
You're a talker, Julie?
No.
Can you imagine that? I think one of my highest honors was that Paul asked me after I retired to be on his board for, by the way. And I was still serving in that position right now. But as Jenny said, we'd go to conventions. We'd be able to. The most fun I had was I'd go to conventions and people would, the first thing they'd ask me, is Paul Deventer still with KFUO? Has he written another book? And if we handed out, by the way, books, these women were just thrilled from our Lutheran Women's Missionary League, or if we went to the LCMS convention, people listened and they were happy to receive those messages.
Jenny, how would you say you grew under Paul's leadership?
Again, being pushed out there in the middle of the ocean with looking like no life support. It's, you know, if I drown, I'm just going to drown. But he was always there to say, you can do this. And, you know, with Paul in prayer, I was able to, I guess, climb mountains that I didn't know that I was able to climb. And it gave me confidence for later to be able to say, okay, I can do this. And even at my church, now I can say, well, if I could do that in front of all those executive people, I know I could do it in front of the parishioners at my church. You know, I could, you know, but I still don't like it. I don't, you know, and it's whatever. I don't like it. I would rather just be in the background and nobody notice me. But I'm so glad this isn't a video. It let me know that, you know, once you go ahead and you face that fear, it's okay. You know, so he pushed me to grow there. And again, typing those scripts, I can type probably 120 words a minute now. At first, it was 12 words a minute with 10 mistakes.
Well, Paul was very compassionate. In fact, I used to think, I was glad he headed up the communications department here at Synod, but I used to think, wow, if you were my pastor, that would be wonderful, because you knew with Paul, you could go in and sit in his office and you could talk to him. He always had time for all of his employees. He always had the time to give. But like I said, he was never an enforcer kind of person. It was, this is what you were supposed to do, and you just kind of, you worked together and you did it. That's not to say everything was perfect. There were complaints sometimes from us. But Paul would say, now, do you really want to work under real authority, or do you just want to work together? And I thought, yeah, I guess that's a better way to do it.
Since 1924, KFUO has been all about proclaiming the good news of Jesus and using technology to do that, you know, starting with AM radio in 1924, and then adopting technology throughout the years that looked promising, that had, you know, sincere promise for sustainability. How would you say Paul's leadership, how did technology and innovation play a role in Paul's leadership, or vice versa? How did his leadership connect with innovation and technology that we had a variety of ways that we reached not just the St. Louis area, but around the world. Right. Joni?
Well, Paul and Jim Brosbach, Pastor Jim Brosbach, were always on top of things with what was going on in the world so that we could communicate to the most people possible. And so we moved forward. We at one time had an uplink dish here at the International Center.
You know, I don't even know what that is.
Satellite.
It was a big, big dish up here. No, it wasn't a satellite exactly. It was... Oh. It was huge. I remember we went and asked some donors for money, because I think it took $100,000 to put that up, which was a lot of money back then. It was probably put up in the 1990s. But Paul and Jim were always on top of things, so they were always ready to move to the next step. And Gary Duncan, who is now the head of KFUO, he was very knowledgeable of what was happening next. Paul Clayton, he was always aware of it. And so they would put their heads together, see what the next step was, and we would move forward. I can remember we started, by the way, albums, 76 albums. We were still doing it when I came. Then we went, I think the next thing was the DAT. Then we went to the CD.
Well, we reel sent to reel.
Reel to reels, I think we sent at one time. And eventually we just sent it out in the air.
DVDs. Or CDs or whatever they are called that people don't know what they are anymore.
But it wasn't like Paul was just heading up a department and he wasn't knowledgeable of things. He was very knowledgeable of radio and what was happening in the radio world. And his key goal was always get the message out to as many people as possible.
We're remembering the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Paul Devantier with Joni Harwell, Jenny Williams, and John Devantier. And we'll share more of John's story right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're remembering the Reverend Dr. Paul Devantier and his service to KFUO Radio with Joni Harwell and Jenny Williams, both longtime members of the KFUO staff, beloved members. And John Devantier, the son of Paul and Ellen Devantier. John, tell us some of your story. What are your memories of your father's service to the church and KFUO and LCMS Communications?
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny listening to Joni and Jenny talk a lot. I mean, for instance, the satellite dish you just mentioned, I remember that well. It was right outside of his office window in the last office he had there at the International Center. But I can remember as a child often visiting his office on the SEM grounds where KFUO used to be headquartered. And he always had sugar cubes on his desk. And that was very fun as a child to find my way in his office and get a sugar cube. He once invited some of the neighborhood kids and I to the studio when we made a record, which was revolutionary to us, this idea that you could actually make a record, which was a lot of fun. It still exists somewhere. I think there were some fun questions from kids that were shared during that time. But, you know, I mean, being his son, I mean, we grew up with his service to the church, and that was kind of part of our life. It was always fun when he was a guest preacher somewhere, getting to see and hear him preach, listening to him on the radio. But he was, as Joni and Jenny mentioned, he was just really passionate about the communication arts and how that can further the reach of the gospel. And as they were mentioning, he did. He had a absolute confidence in people and hope in them. I mean, he knew people were capable of things, and he wasn't afraid to challenge you with it. It was just exceptional leadership. And it was, you know, it's been good for me to have seen that and apply those same principles to the best I'm able in my own life.
In addition to you and your siblings, your parents cared for over 80 foster children. From your perspective, what did life look like in a full house at any given time in the Devonteer house?
Yeah, it's always funny watching people react to that, because that seems, you know, like a very tall order for most. It was, but I grew up with it, and that was just kind of the way our house operated. There was always a baby in the house, sometimes two. And it was a blessing. It was fun. Babies are a gift. I'm sure you all, with your experience with my dad, I mean, he had a real heart for children. I mean, that was very important to him. And my mom, of course, she obviously had more of the work in the household with the children around. But like I said, it was just kind of part and parcel of the way we operated. There were always children there. And, you know, growing up, especially as a teenager, going to church, especially if you were the one holding the baby, well, teenage girls were always very interested in babies. So I was always apt to be the one holding the baby in church. That was just fine.
That principle still holds.
Well, and I know that did play a big part in your mother and father's life. Paul would often talk about the children that they were taking care of at the time. And I know every time you met Ellen, you know, that was the joy. That was the joy in her life, other than singing in the choir, which I know mm-hmm. she loves too. That was her joy, to take care of those children. And your grandmother did that also, didn't she?
Yes. I mean, that's, you know, kind of part of our family's history. There have been foster children, adopted siblings, and so forth for generations. It's just kind of been very much part of the way our family has operated.
Yeah, it was really hard to ever see Ellen without a baby in her arms. Just, you almost didn't see that.
Yeah, it didn't happen very often, that's for sure.
She always had a baby. And I remember when Paul said, we're going to stop. We're not going to do it anymore. And I said, really, Paul? I don't know that you can. And I think they adopted, or they fostered two more after that, and then they were done, something like that. But when they really quit, I was really surprised, because I remember, you know, Ellen, it had to be a lot of work. I mean, always having a baby, oh my gosh. So, and then she did other stuff because, you know, and you guys supported Paul in his work here, because Ellen would make us ornaments every year.
Mm-hmm.
Every AFUO employee got a Christmas ornament, handmade. She made that stuff. So
those were made during nap time.
When is that with a baby?
Well, I can tell you, we were put into service for those too, so she had some help. I mean, there were children in the house all the time. I still remember, my mom loves to tell this story. She was running out the door to choir practice and said to my dad as he was coming in the door, "So-and-so will be here in a little while with a baby. Take it."
What an incredible
And
legacy.
I could hear your father say, okay, Ellen.
John, how has your father's life of service been an example for you and how you live?
Well, you know, I think about major life decisions, and I often think about how he would handle those sorts of decisions. And it was, you know, as Joni and Jenny were mentioning, he was so patient and confident in a person's ability. You know, you take a step back sometimes and just say, how would Dad have handled this situation? How would I enter into this? And he was so gracious with his time and the way he entered into every situation with, you know, I mean, being a a child of his. I mean, there were lots of opportunities. My wife always says, I think it was something from one of our pastors, that be careful if you pray for patience, because God will give you lots of opportunities to exercise that. And I suspect that at some point in his life, he prayed for patience and God gave him his children to exercise that patience. But it was the way he approached every situation. And I fail at it often, but it's, you know, something that I certainly try to apply in my own, you know, being a father and in my profession.
And he was so proud of his children. I can tell you, when we would have the, by the way, board of directors meetings, he would talk about the kids. And I think, John, did you buy the lake house?
Yes.
And he was so happy about that, because he and Ellen had moved actually to Appleton, but there were the opportunities still to go to the lake house and visit and be there with the family and everything.
Yeah, that was a special place to him. Well, to all of us. It still is. He loved northern Wisconsin, and being on the lake, you know, it's interesting to hear you all talk about his professional life. And, you know, we mentioned at the beginning, you know, he would always be in a suit and tie. And I can remember times as a child how often he was in a suit and tie. In fact, there was one time we were camping in southern Missouri, and we were camping over the weekend and had decided we were going to go to church on Sunday. Woke up, went to the campground facilities, and he puts on a suit, and I did too. And we left for church and then realized that the service didn't start for another hour and a half. So we went back to the campsite, and I have a picture of him, you know, over a camp stove fixing breakfast in a suit and tie.
And as we shared, he also skied in a suit one time. But that was Paul. You never saw Paul that he wasn't in a suit and properly attired. And I think that he was a pastor, and he wanted to be, as I said, confident and compassionate. And I think he wanted to be available for people. And I think that just maybe made people comfortable knowing that here is this pastor, and here he is all dressed in a suit, and he's available for me.
And if you knew Paul, he really was a people person. And he spent time, I mean, Paul was just himself. He was going to be himself, and he loved everybody. I remember one time he came to work, and he had on, I want to say, purple nail polish. And I said, Paul, is that nail polish? And he looked down at his nails, and he said, yeah, Susie did my nails. And you left it on there. And he said, well, I had to. She was so proud of it. She had to be like 7 or 8 when she did them too. And I was like, that's so nuts.
You know,
I wish wouldn't have done it.
I wish everyone who hears the By the Way messages could hear this interview so they would know what the background of the man was. Because, you know, they heard these messages and they've loved them. But just to know who Paul was is a real blessing, as Jenny has said.
He was every day. Mm-hmm. He really was. Yeah.
He was approachable to everyone.
He was very much so.
He was, you know, I mean, anyone was comfortable talking to him.
Yes.
I mean, he would, senators and congressmen would seek his advice. And, you know, he was just as comfortable in that setting as he was at a NASCAR race. I mean, and
Joni, Jenny, both of you have mentioned that he approached you with grace. He approached everything about the team here at KFUO and communications with grace and being gracious, knowing that your team leader is approaching everything with grace. How does that impact how you go about your work, knowing that there's grace, compassion, forgiveness there? How does that shape how you go about your work?
Well, truthfully, when Paul would be that way sometime, and I had to work between KFUO and the International Center Communications, and not everybody always wanted to do, you know,
we're in
communications, we're over here at KFUO, we don't need you to come and tell us something. And sometimes I would go into Paul's office and I would be pretty upset. And he'd say to me, now, Joni, I'd say, Paul, I think we need to tell them that this has to be done. Now, Joni, is that really the way that you want things to be handled? And I think he did really help me to learn that, okay, you can't go in there like a bull. You got to go in there like a sheep and be kind and gentle and pray about it. And if it gets done, it gets done. If it doesn't, then I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not my responsibility to push things around. And I really thank Paul for doing that. Yes.
Well, same thing. I remember once having a disagreement, and it was heated with his assistant. And I was so mad, and she told me if I didn't like it, I could just go and talk to Paul. And I thought, well, that's not a threat to me because I know Paul is. And I said, I will, and you can come too. And I went in there, and he called her in too. And I was so angry. And I don't know if she was angry or not, but I was so angry, I was ready to hit somebody.
Oh, no.
He was able to calm us down. And he started it with saying he thinks she's doing a very good job. And then I looked at him like, how dare you say that? And he just looked at me and he just looked back at her. And then he finished what he was saying. And he was right. She was doing a good job. That particular time, she had made a mistake and it was at my cost. And I was just angry about it because it came at a bad time. But he was able to, you know, iron that all out. And we were able to walk out of there and just be friends. I was still kind of a little huffy, but he did a really good job. You know, looking back on it, you know, even when I looked back the next day after that, he did such a good job that I remember telling my husband, she better be glad Paul was there. So, yeah, he helped me to be able to see that all the time, like Joni said, you can't walk in there and go in there like a bull. Calm down. Think about what you're doing. So, yeah, he was really a good mentor. He really was.
He was. Yeah, definitely.
And a good example, too, because I never saw him get upset. I've never seen him upset. So he was very calm.
And his dedication to the station as we went through the trial, the 9 years we went through it, Paul, his stick-to-itiveness with that was just, he said, we're right, and we're going to prove this, that we're right. And I really admired that, too, because a lot of people, that took a lot of time and effort. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people probably would have said after a while, forget it, it's too much. But Paul was determined that we were right, and we were going to succeed, and he stayed with that.
And he knew it was a bigger issue than just the station. It was religious freedom.
Yes, because we had, when we would go then to the NRB convention, we actually had station managers, because they said, we're so thankful you did this. You have a church body and you stuck up for all of us individual mm-hmm. Christian stations. It was very important.
With just about a minute left, final thought, maybe one favorite. It could be lighthearted, funny memory, or maybe just the one final memory that you want to share with our listeners today. John, we'll start with you. Maybe it's a lighthearted memory, or maybe it's just a warm thought, or maybe a picture of how your father served as a faithful witness and leader.
Well, he is, you know, something he would often say was, we have much for which to be thankful. It was such a unique way of saying that. But that was absolutely his mantra. Regardless of the circumstance, you know, he was always hopeful and he was always thankful to God for the situation. He always knew there was much for which to be thankful.
Well, he always was matter of fact. You could tell that he stood for what he stood for, and he knew that it was good and it was right. And he was very matter of fact about it. He would stand up and he would say that in front of people. He would, you know, just one-on-one, you knew that he stood for what he stood for. And I admire that. I really do. Paul was just a great guy. I don't know how else to that. I haven't had a whole bunch of great bosses. Andy's one. Right behind Andy, I would be the next best boss I ever had because of how he bossed people. He didn't boss people. It was a let's. It's why don't we? It was a, hey, what do you think about? And he really cared about people. He cared about his staff, and he really did care about the radio station. He loved KFUO. So, you know, he's part of it. He was always KFUO, even when he wasn't.
Jenny was just saying that about me because I promised lunch today.
I would say what Jenny and I have both shared before. Paul believed in us. He's the one that moved us along. Jenny and I always think it's very funny. We were not the first people offered our positions in the beginning. We were the second. And I guess Paul saw something in us because we both stayed around. I a little bit less than 30 years and Jenny over 30 years. And I will say we probably have to credit a lot of that to Paul because he did believe in us and he did move us forward. And as Jenny said, he was just a wonderful boss, father, man, husband. That's all I can say. And I know a lot of people would say, come on, he really wasn't that good. Yes, he was.
He would go to staff lunches and he'd go with us. He'd say, hey, you guys want to go to lunch? Remember us all going to Applebee's and stuff? We had fun and we'd all sit there. Like, I mean, it was every day with Paul. Yeah. He's just that kind of guy.
We have, I think we've had a great time remembering the Reverend Dr. Paul Devanteer today. Our guests, Joni Harwell. Joni, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
And Jenny Williams, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
John Devanteer, son of Paul and Ellen Devanteer. John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Andy.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.